what God put in my heart this morning. So let's begin. One of the songs that we sang this morning, I picked these songs to go with the sermon, but the one I want to just read this verse just struck me this morning. How firm a foundation. The second verse says this: Fear not, I am with thee. O be not dismayed, for I am thy God and will still give thee aid. I'll strengthen thee, help thee, and cause thee to stand, upheld by my righteous, omnipotent hand. The idea of having a big brother that stands up for you is kind of what our text is going to be talking about today. Having someone standing behind you. There was a movie many years ago, I think it was called My Bodyguard. It wasn't like a great movie, but it was a pretty good movie. And the story goes like this: the little wimpy kid in school is being set upon by the bullies. And through some sort of an arrangement, he arranges for this older kid, a senior in high school or whatever, I don't remember what the deal is, to be his bodyguard. And throughout the movie, when the bullies would come and pick on him, you know, his parents are telling him to stand up to those bullies. So this one time they come to pick on him, and he starts giving them what for, and yeah, I'm not going to take it from you guys anymore. And in the movie, these bullies, they all kind of look at him, they get these big eyes, and they all run away. And the kid says, well, I guess I showed them. Then he turned around, and this 6-foot-tall kid that he hired is standing right behind him. I had the same experience in high school. Our high school football team was mediocre that season, and there was a kid on the high school paper who never got involved in anything. He didn't play any sports. He wasn't on any teams. He was in those days we would have called him a slacker, but he wrote this scathing article about our football team, just really, really said really bad things. So at lunchtime in the quad, I'm going to go over and I'm going to confront this guy, and I'm giving this guy what for about, you know, you don't know nothing. If you're not going to participate, you shouldn't be. And at first, the guy was being a little bit, he was talking back. And then after a while, he stopped talking. And he shut up. And he got real quiet. And I'm giving him what for and giving him what for. And so there. And the guy just says, okay, no problem. So again, I'm thinking like the kid in high school. I showed him. Of course, what I didn't realize is when I walked across the quad to speak to this kid, the entire football team followed me over, and they were all standing right behind me. They never said a word, but they were standing right behind me. So the idea is we have in Christ the big brother who stands behind us. So we are continuing through. We're doing kind of a verse-by-verse study of the book of Hebrews. So if you have your Bibles, because I know you all do, we're going to be in Hebrews chapter 2. We're going to pick up from where we left off last week in Hebrews chapter 2, beginning at verse 5. And in this section, in Hebrews chapter 2, starting at verse 5, Hebrews presents the greatest big brother you're ever going to know. And we're going to be discussing the ideas, well, is he actually your big brother or not? Jesus, the Christ, God becomes man, Savior becomes brother. The first book of the Old Testament tells us how God made man in his own image and how man fell into sin and was separated from God. The first book of the New Testament tells us how God became man, took on man's likeness himself through Jesus Christ. In Hebrews 1, when we were going through the beginning of the book, we were told about how God has spoken through the prophets in the Old Testament, but now he speaks to us today through his Son. Jesus is God. God is the Son, become flesh, far above the angels and above Moses, who was the greatest leader of God's people in the Old Testament. Jesus is greater than that. He is the name above all names. And last week we were challenged to speak the name of Jesus to others. We need to let people know about this Jesus, that he's not just some guy in history who had some really great moral ideas, although he was that. He was the guy in history who had the moral ideas. So we need to talk about that. Talk about Jesus together. Speak about Jesus the Christ with your friends, your family, your acquaintances. We saw a quote from the news that said about 44% of Americans today see no difference between the Bible, the Quran, the Book of Mormon. They consider these books equal as the messages from God. Yeah. Right. There's a whole plethora. I always tried to figure out a way to get that word into a sermon. There's a whole plethora. I had to look that up. It means a whole bunch. There's a whole bunch of reasons why those other books. Right. We said that you can talk about God, but we need to talk about Jesus. The name Jesus Christ is politically and socially incorrect today. Did you know that? You get out of the public square today and you start talking about Jesus. As long as you just say, I like Jesus and I follow Jesus, you're kind of on safe territory. But when you start talking about Jesus is the one and the only way, boy, you're going to get it from all sides. Jesus Christ stands alone as the name of all names. So why is Jesus' name such a big threat? Well, first, because Jesus is God and he came here to claim his place as the one and only Lord and Savior of God's people. The culture today holds everybody's ideas as good as anybody else's. That's the highest level of diversity, if you will, in our culture. Just the idea that you would say that one view is better than another view is going to get you into trouble. He is God who became a man to save me from sin. Jesus Christ is exclusive. He stands alone in real time and space with a name above all names. In Acts chapter 4, verse 12, it says this, there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. Second, Jesus shared our humanity and became our brother. Not just our Lord and Savior, he became our brother. Hebrews chapter 1 declares Jesus' divinity. Hebrews chapter 2 hails Jesus' humanity. So what difference does it make if Jesus became a man or not? Well, and even if he did, is it really that critical that we believe it? Does heaven and hell really hang in the balance over this? In a word, absolutely. Absolutely. Every other system that you can think of has some sort of a works mentality in it. You've got to do this, and you've got to do this, and you've got to do this to achieve whatever it is they have in their system. In fact, to hear some Christians talk, you might conclude that salvation is mostly about what you and I do to be saved. And there's nothing to say that obedience and works is a bad thing, as long as we don't get the works ahead of the grace. Contrary to this thinking, who Jesus is stands as the one central theme of God's word. God and man are the two great characters around which all else revolves in the Bible. Jesus is God and man in perfect, ideal presence and character. He is the God-man. So today as we look in Hebrews, we're introduced to how important it is that Jesus, who was and is God, became a human being and shared in our flesh and blood and nature. Look at your Bibles then in Hebrews chapter 2. It's up on the screen if you don't have your Bibles with you. Hebrews chapter 2 beginning at verse 5. For it was not to angels that God subjected the world to come, of which we are speaking. It has been testified somewhere. What is man that you are mindful of him, or the son of man that you care for him? You made him for a little while lower than the angels. You have crowned him with glory and honor, putting everything in subjection under his feet. Now putting everything in subjection to him, he left nothing outside his control. At present, we do not yet see everything in subjection to him. But we see him who for a little while was made lower than the angels, namely Jesus, crowned with glory and honor because of the suffering of death, so that by the grace of God he might taste death for everyone. For it was fitting that he, for whom and by all things exist, in bringing many sons to glory, should make the founder of their salvation perfect through suffering. For he who sanctifies and those who are sanctified all have one source. That is why he is not ashamed to call them brothers, saying, I will tell of your name to my brothers. In the midst of the congregation, I will sing your praise. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, behold, I and the children God has given me.